It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Welcome, everyone, to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We are live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a good show lined up for you. As most people know, that I'm a pretty big fan of Mike Marler, and Mike Marler is going to join us today on the show. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mike. We haven't talked to him in a few weeks. He has been on such a roll. I've got 19. Is it 18 or 19, Austin? Did you count? Did you do the math on that by chance? Any chance that you did the math on that?
I can double check.
I'm going to have you double check it, because I've come up with 18 and 19 on Mike Mahler's website, and you know, he's doing so well. Maybe one of the hottest drivers in the country right now. Maybe not when it comes to wins, but when it comes to consistency, Mike Mahler is one of those guys. And we're going to talk to him here in just a little bit. Big news right now coming down the pipe. I-70 Speedway, the All-Stars, were going to race there tonight and tomorrow night. They've rained out tonight, right, Austin? We've pulled the plug, right?
Yeah, as about probably 11:10, you know, Central Time, they announced that due to the persistent rain in the Kansas City area the past you know, couple hours, and then the past couple days, it was just too much to try and get a race in. So they'll you know, regroup and come back tomorrow for 26,000 to win for the Race Rudine Memorial Race.
Right, it's 26,000 tomorrow night, and then it's another, what is it, 26,000 on Saturday?
No,
18,000, right?
No.
What was it?
It's should
at
be
Knoxville.
8,000.
8,000 at Knoxville. You would think it'd pay more at Knoxville, wouldn't you? A little bit more than that?
No, I mean, the baseline, you know, weekly pay is it's 8,000 win at Knoxville. So the baseline pay is $5,000 to win for 410s. You know, and I think that pretty much the base pay for the All Stars is either 6,000 or 8,000. So. Right. You know, Tiering Street comes in, add a couple thousand dollars to the winner and the overall payout, and call it good.
I'm a little bummed out that they're not racing tonight, aren't you? A little bit. Weren't you looking forward to going out there and watching some good sprint car racing tonight with the All-Stars?
Yeah, I mean, I was interested to see how the track would do. I mean, you know, we went there last year, and it, you know, the first year for racing on it, it was a good show, and I think they've learned a lot this year from, you know, the races that they have had on it with, you know, the 305 Nationals, ASCS, and the Lucas Oil Late Model Series, that, you know, for a big event like this, it was shaping up to be, you know, really good.
Right.
You know, but the rain's kind of affected that. So it might make it even better tomorrow so that they take some of the work off their hands. But, yeah, no, I think, you know, if they get tomorrow's in, it'll be, you know, it'll make up for the loss of tonight's.
You know, I think Tommy found something during the late model race. I think he figured out a little bit more on how to prep that track and how to get it a little bit more prepared. There's a fly flying around here. I just tried to kill him. Anyway, I think the racetrack was going to be better this time for sprint cars than it was the last time we were out there with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. I think Tommy found something that last race.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm not a track guy by no means, but I think you can take, you know, some things you learn at a late model race and put it towards your sprint car track prep. But and I'm sure you can't take some things just because of the weight and the way they race and all that. But,
right,
you know, I definitely think, you know, he was able to get it pretty wide. And I think you can do the same thing, you know, this weekend. And if you can do that, I mean, that's all you really need. That's the only thing at that place I feel like is lacking, just getting it a little wider, maybe back the bottom up a little bit with some more, you know, slickness to it, and have a pretty good race, in my opinion.
Well, so tonight, I guess we're stuck watching the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour at 81 tonight, right?
Yep, we have that, and then we also have Lincoln Park with the USAC Indiana Sprint Week.
Yeah. I want to say, hey, Chuck, he's always chiming in that he's listening from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And also Marvin, who's checking in from Miamisburg, Ohio, checking in on the show as well. We appreciate you guys. And Tammy, you're always there. We can always count on you to be there, as well as Pete. He's checking in with us today as well. What'd you think of that ASCS race last night?
Do you want me
to set the tone? You want me to start with the tone?
No, I'll take care of it. Right. I mean, that's just my opinion. Back-to-back nights with subpar track surface, in my opinion. But the racing was comparing Tulsa to Caney, it was 10 times better.
Yes.
Comparing Caney to what we might see tonight at 81, probably won't be as good. But from the night before,
you think 81's going to be better than Caney was last night?
Yeah, just Caney. Well, I mean, that's known for taking rubber. But from the past couple races we've seen down there, it's been far from that. It's always been really heavy with a curb. So,
right.
I'm hoping they can keep that up tonight. I think if they have any rain, I'm not sure what Wichita's been like, this week, but. I'm assuming some of this rain that's came through Kansas City's got down there, so maybe it will help, with the heat and some of the issues that they're battling for track prep. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot better than Tulsa, but it was still,
it wasn't that great last night. Yeah. So what did you think about Tim Crawley getting into the back of the 52 of Blake Hahn, the current defending champion with the Luxor ASCS National Sprint Car Tour? Do you have a thought on that? To me, I'll just set the tone here a little bit. To me, it looked like Blake didn't do anything wrong. Now, I know what Tim said after the race. Tim said something about how he kind of come down on him, or he woed up a little bit. I didn't see any of that. I just saw Blake trying to get through the center of the corner. Maybe he checked up, just woed up a little bit, or backed up the corner a little bit. But when he was trying to twist through the center of the corner, that's when Tim got into the back of him. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Blake did anything wrong. It's just, Blake, we saw him, laps previous, running the bottom into one. And the only thing that he did different on the lap that Tim Crawley got to his rear bumper and turned him, was he slid Tim into 3 and 4, and it made his entry about a half a car higher into 1.
Right.
So it just kind of hung the right rear outside of the little bit of moisture that was down on the bottom.
Yep.
And it just kind of stalled the car out a little bit. So it didn't break his momentum up a lot. It's very faint and hard to notice, but you could tell that his entry into 1 wasn't like the laps previous, and it's just like I said, it kind of backed his center of his corner up.
You think part of that is because the track was going away a little bit, or
I think it's just because Blake was able to carry a lot more momentum down off the top after he slid Tim,
right?
And it's just you're gonna go from the top to the bottom, and it's not easy to hit that every lap, and especially when you're racing someone. But it wasn't like it was a big checkup and.
A blatant.
Yeah, and right. I think it's just, I've never seen, Tim Crawley race dirty at all, and I don't think it was really intentional, but.
I don't think it was either.
He still drove through his rear bumper.
He still knocked him out of the way, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Even if it wasn't on purpose. Right?
Yeah, he said he checked up, and, it's hard to see if these cars were on the brakes. It's not like a non-wing car where the left front's in the air, and you can see the left front get locked up, but. When he got to Blake's bumper and had him sideways, you could see the rear tires slow down. You could see the Hoosier come more visible, but that was when he was already in his rear bumper. So, we're not driving the car. We don't know everything that happened, but as a spectator, you can speculate.
And Tim said he was hard on the brakes right there, too. He said that he got on the brakes as hard as he could, and that's what he said.
Yep.
Right?
And that's, I mean.
And you got to trust the guy. Listen, if he says that, you got to say, okay, I believe you.
Yeah, I mean.
If that's the case.
He's the one driving it. So
right.
He knows what he did, you know, even if that's not the case. I mean, he knows there's only two people that know what happened in that situation.
Right, right. Do you think that, Dillon Westbrook was pretty fast last night. Do you think that Westbrook was faster than Blake Hahn? Do you think his car was a little bit faster, or do you think Blake Hahn was faster in the end?
It's hard
That's
to say
a tough
that.
Decision, isn't it?
It's hard to say that because Blake only ran, you know, the first, what, five or so, six
right.
laps
yep.
Before he was, you know, he got
taken out
and he fell back to, you know, outside the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 10 laps after that's when the track, you know, started to take rubber and you could see everybody move up to the middle and just get single file. And, you know, the last lap they did a pan of the field, like the top five was in a group, like in one and two. And then the rest of the field, the last, you know, 15, 20 cars were all in a group single file on the backstretch. So,
right.
You know, there was a big gap between those two. And I think Blake was back in the second group. And, you know, when it takes rubber like that, you're not going to go anywhere. And it's just where you're at's where you're going to finish. And, you know, I think if Blake was able to maintain his lead, he would have probably won that just because the rubber came in. And if he was able to, you know, navigate lap traffic, he'd be all right. But
right.
I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to say because of the time that he went out of the lead and the time that, you know, Westbrook got to the lead. It was different points in the race and different things, you know, were started to take place.
I think the two fastest cars on the track had to be Blake Hahn and Dillon Westbrook, though, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think you could add Crawley into the three fastest cars because, you know,
he was still right in the middle of it.
He
right.
got to him, you know, on the last lap. So, you know, he was just able to. I mean, when you're the leader in lap traffic on in rubber, it's not fun at all. It sucks. But
didn't I think it was Wayne. Didn't he say that the rubber come in late in that race, though, didn't he?
Yeah, it was like the last, you know, 10 or so laps.
Right.
You know, they don't have a ticker up at the top of the screen to tell what lap we're on. We're just on
the... Oh, that's one of my pet peeves about the ASCS broadcast. They don't do the lineups, and they don't have a ticker.
Yeah, now we're just...
Because you can't keep track of where your driver's coming up through the field, right?
Yeah, that, and we don't know what's going on with the race if your driver has a shot at getting to the leader or
right.
getting by a guy, and we're just sitting on Holbert's call to keep this informed. But, yeah, I mean, it was you know, later in the race, but it still had an effect in the race.
Right. So, Blake only led one lap. Crawley led lap 1 through 6, then 8 through 14. Blake led one lap, lap 7. Dillon Westbrook, he led 15 through 25.
Yeah, so yeah, the rubber came in, you know, after he took the lead. So yeah, it was less than 10 to go.
Yeah, I've got to say though that you're probably right. I think that Crawley, Hahn, and Westbrook were the three fastest cars. Wayne Johnson. Now listen, this could be a big deal for Wayne Johnson this year. Did you notice that when Scotty talked to him after the races in the post race interview? That Wayne said that he was down in his back pretty bad yesterday. I'm not so sure that this back issue isn't going to cause Wayne a problem before the season's up. I got a feeling that this could really put a damper on his season if he has to deal with this back pain all season long. What do you think?
I think it definitely does, and you know, our backs are really important in our life. So
right.
You know, you definitely don't want to take a chance of hurting yourself even more, but you know, also these cars are prone to back injuries. It's what happened to Wayne, and if something else happens again, it's only gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse. And you know, if you're hurt and you're racing, and
right.
You know, it'll change how you race. You know, you might be really aggressive and you get hurt and you're still hurt and you can only race to your limit, and that limit's, you know, half of what you used to be. So,
right.
You know, if it doesn't get better, I mean, you can only think what it could do to his season. I mean, it's we just hope he gets better, but it's not something, you know, you want to be dealing with while you're trying to win a championship.
I think there comes a point where you've got to start thinking, is this good for me to go ahead and continue to race and jeopardize hurting myself even worse? Or do I pull out for the season? At some point, you got to start thinking like that, don't you?
Yeah.
If your back is in bad shape, because listen, like you said, if your back is in really bad shape, that could cause you consistent pain for the rest of your life if you don't take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. It's just, you know, we're only a couple weeks removed from that wreck. It was July 4th weekend.
Right.
Actually, we're about a month removed from it. So, yeah, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, you know, how long the injury is going to take to heal. But, you know, if it's not within, I'm going to say at the end of August that, you know, Wayne's going to probably be in the position of looking for a different route in his season.
Well, I like Wayne, and I've been around Wayne for many years, traveling up and down the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. And the one thing that I don't want to see happen to Wayne is him have some serious back injury because he wants to try to win this championship. At some point, you got to start thinking, what's better for me, my health or this championship? And I think Wayne's going to have to make a decision before too long. Listen, he said he was in a lot of pain yesterday, and it wasn't a good day for him. I just don't think that it's a really a good idea. I hate to say this, but I want to see the championship battle go down between, you know, Wayne and Blake, and maybe Tim Crawley get in the middle of it. I'd like to see that. That would be a lot of fun to watch, but I don't want Wayne to injure himself again. That's my biggest problem that I have right now. Just don't want him to get injured again.
Yeah, I mean, racing will always be there. So if it's forcing him to take the rest of the year off and come back at it next year, but he's at 100%, I mean, that's going to be the best bet for you. And I think, you know, Wayne's been around it a while, and he's been through plenty of injuries.
But the problem is, though, Austin, is that he's getting a little long in the tooth.
Well, yeah, but he's also, like I said, he's been through a couple injuries, and he understands what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll make the right choice, and, you know, the right choice isn't always the best choice or choice you want, but, you know, I feel like if it came down to that time to make that decision, and he would do it, would be right.
Right. The BC 39 is next week, right? It starts on August 2nd. Is that right? That's correct, I believe. They're up to 70 cars now. Are you surprised by that number at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
You know, I'm not sure what the previous years were, but
I don't know what the
previous year was. It's grown every year, is all I know. It starts the third and it's through the third and the fourth, which would be like next Wednesday and Thursday. But no, I think this could be, you know, one of the crown jewels, you know, along with the Chili Bowl.
They don't have the Belleville Midget Nationals anymore, so that's off the table.
Yeah, I think, right? You know, this Chili Bowl, at some point you could probably add in the Huset's race, and maybe the Turkey Night, and then maybe the Hangtown 100 at Placerville. But yeah, it's cool seeing, you know, Roger Penske, you know, embrace the dirt racing community and keep the little short dirt track alive at the Speedway and bring this event back every year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, on Monday, we are going to have the voice of the BC 39. Chet and Pat Sullivan are going to be doing the race next week, and that starts on Tuesday. So we're going to have Pat on Monday to talk about the BC 39. We always appreciate Pat Sullivan taking his time out of his busy day to join us here on the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. And if you haven't heard, we just announced it here at the start of the show that the All-Star race at I-70 Motorsports Park has been rained out tonight, and that's a bummer because we were all looking forward to going out there and watching some good sprint car racing tonight as well. All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Mike Marler, who is one of the most consistent drivers in the country right now when it comes to late model racing. Mike Marler joins us next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is the 2018 World of Outlaw late model champion. And everybody knows that I'm a monster Mike Marler fan. He joins us now on the show. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Doing good this morning. How about you?
Well, we're not doing as good as you, bud, because you are like the hottest driver in late model racing right now with your consistency, man. You got to take a lot of pride in that, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we we do. You know, we work hard at it and try to be competitive each and every night, you know, and it's nice when you're running good and got finishes, and then you got the, you know, the car hanging there every night and finishing the races. So that's nice, too.
Yeah. I want to step back just a little bit and talk about Eldora. What were your thoughts about that weekend at Eldora? You did pretty damn good there, didn't you, bud?
Yeah, it went pretty good. Yeah, we haven't won any of those the World or the Dream yet. We've run we generally run pretty good there for whatever reason. Last year we got second, and this year at the Million we got seventh, I think, sixth or seventh. Was it seventh?
Seventh.
Million. Yeah. Seventh. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, and qualified good and won the heat races, and I think I was second or third in the prelim race. So yeah, went good, and you know, I'm not the best there, but we're pretty good there.
Yeah. Is there one track that you think that you're better at than any other racetrack? When it comes to driving, do you feel like you're better at one racetrack than any other racetrack? Is there one out there that you can think of?
Well, just based off success, Knoxville's been really good to me, you know.
Yeah.
Magnolia, Mississippi's been really good to me. Those are kind of line-sensitive places. You know, Knoxville's kind of one of them places that the bottom's pretty technical and the outside's wide open. And sometimes with the late models, I don't know about the sprint car so much. Well, I think sprint cars pretty much drive it like late models, but
right.
You know, you just kind of float the middle there. So those tracks have been good to me for sure. And Eldora's actually been a good track for me. It's just that I haven't broke through there, but it's been a good track for me.
Yeah. You know, we're really good friends with the Kosciuszkis up at I-80, and the Silver Dollar Nationals was going on up there. You got a second and a fourth up there. It's kind of sad to see that old racetrack go away, isn't it, bud?
Yeah, it is. And you know, we just like those folks like you do. I mean, they've been around racing for a long time, and mm-hmm. they understand the ins and outs, and they're just, you know, just a big asset, you know, to racing. And but I don't know, there's something about that deal that I don't know, there seems like there's some unfinished business there to me. So I hope it's I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I don't know, there's just something about what's going on up there that tells me that we might be back there before it's over with.
Well, you know, there's some rumblings going around that there's a possibility that race could. I don't know what the Kosciuszkis. You know, I don't know if you know this, but back in the old days, back in the 80s, I used to watch Joe and Steve Kosciuszkis race at Lakeside Speedway on dirt every week. The old Lakeside Speedway that closed down in 1988. Did you ever see Joe and Steve race back in the day? Did you ever watch them race?
I came along at the tail end of Steve's deal. Never really raced with him, but I knew he ran good.
Yeah.
And Joe, I guess Joe was done before Steve. Is that right?
Yeah. No, Joe was really good. Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I never did race with him, but I knew they were good, and I knew their dad was a player too. You know.
Yeah. No doubt. This last race at Davenport, you ran fifth there. Man, you just barely squeaked in and got that top five finish again. Talk a little bit about what happened at Davenport this last race.
Well, you know, the schedule I run is, you know, I don't really run a series now. So,
right.
So when I go to these races, we don't have provisionals, and it's, you know, you got to get in on. There's no room for error, I guess, would be the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And just for example, this week I'm going to the Prairie Dirt Classic. There'll probably be 60, I'm guessing 60-plus cars there. You know, and they're taking basically you're racing for 18 spots and maybe a you know, be main cars. So all that being said, this past weekend at Boone and – or the last month, I'm sorry, Monday and Tuesday at Boone and – and Davenport, we really needed to work on some speed. We've been consistent, but we're a little bit in some situations with our car where we need to work on it some. And so we changed the fuel cell and changed a lot of the setup stuff we were doing, some shocks and different things, and just took two nights to kind of go race, not lesser competition, but you know, there was 28 cars at one and 33 at the other, so it wasn't that big risk in
right.
Not making the race if you miss the setup, you know. So So we did that, and we still had two pretty decent finishes, but wasn't the direction we're looking for. So we're getting back on the tried and true setup, hopefully for the weekend here over at Fairbury. But but those tracks are awesome. It's the first time I've been to Boone. It was a pretty neat little racetrack. And I've been to Davenport a few times, and those guys there that run the track, you know, they're racers too. So they do a really good job keeping that place racing.
You know, we haven't talked to you since that race at Lucas Oil Speedway. You got a little beat up down there. Tell us what was wrong with you after that wreck that you had down there at Lucas Oil Speedway.
Well, it was kind of a real mysterious thing for a lot of people, because all they seen me was out of the car, and people thought they didn't know if I'd got burnt or because the car was stemming really bad. But
Right. Basically,
you know, it rained for heck. I mean, it rained for, I bet, I'm going to guess 15 out of the 24 hours of the day before it rained. And you know, they went in and kind of rushed the deal probably a little bit, I feel like, and track really wasn't suitable to be on. And we tried it anyway, and I just went in the corner, and the car bicycled up and went on two wheels. And in order to keep it from flipping, I had to kind of steer into it. And where that track don't really have a wall in one and two, it's just kind of like a real sharp crown on the top of the track.
Right, it flattens off up there. Yeah,
it flattens off, and it came down and hit right on the seat first, right on that, right on that, you know, edge. And when it did, it blew the floorboard out of it and broke two vertebrae in my back, and really messed me up pretty good. So I've been fighting through it, but it hasn't been racing has not been as physically enjoyable as normal, but we're sojourning on with it, you know, so hopefully in time fixes itself.
You know, there was some speculation that maybe your foot got hurt. Did you hear that?
Well, they actually did. What happened was I got really lucky, because the floorboard came up and probably a foot in the car.
Yeah.
And the clutch pedal went through the bottom of the floorboard.
Oh,
man. And the brake pedal, where I was on the brakes when it happened, it knocked my foot off the brake pedal and stuck the brake pedal down to the floorboard. And so, honestly, I didn't even realize that. I just knew, you know, I don't know what it is with a back injury, but the second it happens, you just know you're hurt. And,
right.
And as soon as that thing came down and landed on that crown or sharp edge of the track with the seat first, I immediately knew that, you know, immediately in my mind, you know, I knew I'd hurt my back. And then what I couldn't under, you know, and it knocks the breath, most people wouldn't realize this, but it knocks the breath out of you so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I stopped, I'm like gasping for air, trying to get my composure. And, you know, when you can't breathe, you freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
right.
So I was really trying to get my composure and get my breath regulated and get some air back in my lungs, and my ankles and feet were hurting really bad, and I couldn't really understand why that was, and I didn't think to look in the floor to see the floorboard, you know, so I just went scrambling getting out of the car. And when I got out of the car, I was leaned over a four-wheeler trying to get my air, and B, I couldn't really support much weight with my feet, you know.
Yep.
And couldn't really figure that out. And then finally, when I got back to the trailer, I realized that it had drove the floorboard up. So I guess when it hit the ground so hard, it just, you know, I guess it hit the bottom of my feet with the world's largest hammer, you know. So it was just, it was just hard. It's just, there was just a weird wreck. And nobody, and the car was sitting there where the motor was really hot. The car was just steaming everywhere. So a lot of people in the grandstand thought I got burnt.
Oh,
so nobody could figure out what was going on. I was the only one that halfway knew, you know. So it was a weird wreck. So it's, you know, I guess it's a nice time to kind of clear that up and let the fans know kind of what happened there.
Right. Were you a little disappointed that they went ahead and run that race that day?
I was. You know, I don't know about all the racers, but I feel a responsibility to the fans, and, you know, and not only the fans, my team, my sponsors, everybody.
Right.
To perform and put on a show and give it all I got every day. And that day they were just tilling and watering. And I'm like, dude, it has rained for
days
straight here.
Right.
You know, what we're doing. And they just made bad judgment, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Well, it was
a lot of people's opinion that day, I think, that drove. So I was real disappointed. I was bummed out and just getting hurt. You know, it's something that's been going on, thousands of dollars with doctor bills and 2 months of dealing with it now, so it's just been an unpleasant deal, but it's part of the risk, and I understand that, and went and seen some specialists, and Matt Crafton had a friend there that he'd hurt his back pretty bad, and he directed me through a doctor that gave me some good advice on it, and they more or less told me, you're not going to be paralyzed or anything, you're just going to be hurt.
Sore, and yeah.
I said, well, I can hurt in the race car, hurt on the couch, so I just seem to be racing.
Yeah. Have you noticed this year, I don't know about you, but I sit in this studio and I've got a lot of TVs in here and I watch a lot of racing, and it seems like to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like some of the racetracks, I don't know if it's the price of fuel because they don't want to have to water the track as much, but it seems like we're dealing with a lot more rubber lately and the tracks are a lot slicker. They're really dry and they blow a lot of dust. Have you noticed that a little bit more this year?
It's been a good summer for the veterans, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The tracks have been drier, slicker, and a little bit more technical. And, when it's rainy and they're real wet, I feel like more people are kind of in play on winning the race. And so it's definitely been drier this year. I don't know that it's anything economically related or anything, or as much as it's just been a little hotter and a little drier than people realize. And the weather's been weird. When I left the house in Tennessee in July 4th or 5th, we left on this trip and grass was all burnt up and hard as a rock. And my wife went home last week and said, it looks like a jungle, so it does nothing but rain down there right now. So,
right.
So I just think up here where we're at, it's more weather related. And if you was seeing some of them southern races, they're probably wetter right now. So
right.
I think that's probably just what it is. There's just been years through my career that just have kind of been like this. And I don't know. I like it when it's a little drier, slicker, just because it's, like we're on a 5-week trip right now. And
right.
I feel like we can load our car more days without damage, but it's sometimes the racer, sometimes it rubbers up and shortchanges the fans have a good race too. So it's yeah. a tough battle, but I think it's just more track prep / weather than anything.
It's
some of these places have been hot and windy.
Right.
Like at I-80.
Right.
It was just hot and the wind blew all the time. They're just, when it's like that, there ain't much they can do. Half the water they're putting down is going in the air,
Right, right. It seems like to me that this year the Longhorn chassis has been a little more dominant than it seems like the guys over maybe at Rocket or something, maybe they haven't had the luck that they've had. What is going on? Why is the Longhorn so advanced over everybody else right now? It seems like they're winning more races than anybody else at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. I mean, they're obviously a really good car, and they got a lot of smart people, and I feel like they got some really good drivers in the cars right now, and that's the number one thing. CJ Rayburn always told me people win races, cars don't, and I feel like their driver lineup is really, really strong right now. And then they got some Kevin Rumley and the Bill Stein connection they got through direct having direct support through Bill Stein, and there's definitely a lot of smart people working on them, and with Steve Arpin coming in and buying the company, he's kind of rejuvenated and really, really wanting to any kind of low spot they're having or difficulty they're having, he's trying to correct and make sure it's as good a company as it could be. So it's a nice place to be right now, that's for sure. I'm happy to have one of their cars and be doing business with them. And then the other side of things is, sometimes it's situational. Hudson gave us a good spanking at Davenport the other day in his Rocket car, and he's done it twice now. And some tracks, suit to some cars. So not saying you can't win in a Longhorn at Davenport or a Rocket at some other track, but that's some of it too. So some of it's schedule related. So just a lot of things, but this sport is so complicated and so competitive that, you kind of, as a team, I kind of go down a list and say, do we have good engines? Well, we have good engines. Do we have good cars? Do we have, good transportation? Is everybody happy? And just somewhere down that list, about 20 items down, you run into something where somebody else is doing a little better than you, and that's kind of where maybe their results is better. So
right.
So it's you know, it's so complicated and so competitive, and I've had some guys that know a lot about racing that's not in dirt racing tell me that it's probably the most competitive thing they've seen.
Yeah. Late model racing is maybe, I think late model racing is setting the tone for the guys over on the sprint car side of things. I don't know if you realize this or not, but, you know, the sprint cars don't pay near as much as what the late models are paying right now. And it seems like Kyle Larson's coming in there after that late model race. I don't remember where it was at. And he decided that he's going to up the ante for the sprint car guys. Do you feel like that you guys in the late model division are setting the tone for other divisions around the country?
You know, I just think that you know, the COVID deal was the single-handed best thing for the payout in late model racing, because who knew that you could just go race on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and we would have enough, you know, viewership on pay-per-view to even support that live stream, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So I think that the sprint cars, I don't know that we're ahead of them by any stretch. I just, you know, I don't really know the numbers on their fan base or anything, but you know, there's some ways that they look good to me. You know, they got a lot of national sponsorship and you know, more big companies sponsoring the cars, where we got more small businesses sponsoring our cars. But at the same time, you know, our promoters are being maybe a little less greedy with us than they are them. I don't see how they couldn't pay what we get paid.
Right.
But night in, night out, I think we're better. They do have some good races. You know, the Knoxville race for them pays better than us. So there's a few that they pay better than us. But I think generally, big picture, I've been looking at some of the earnings this year, and I think we're big picture a little better than them on the payment side of things, for sure.
Yeah, no
doubt.
You know,
on fans, you know, late model racing is just spread out. It's like a light coverage nationwide, where sprint car racing seems to be more like more condensed hot spots of sprint car racing, and maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, all I know is, do you know who D. Suave is? You know who Derek is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had him on the show here a while back, and you know what he said about you?
What's that?
He said, Mike Marler could drive a dump truck up front. That's what he said.
Well, that's for sure a nice compliment. You know, we try hard at it and been doing it a while, you know, when I was young, I ain't gonna lie, I drove a lot of junk. That probably helps you get that, you know, get to where you can drive around some problems and deal with whatever. But we definitely in my team have very good equipment now, and I think that's maybe where some of the consistency in the last, you know, 10 years have come from. Since I started driving to Ronnie Delk in 2013, he's given me some of the best equipment that's available, really. I mean, I don't think there's anything out there that's good that if we don't have, we couldn't have. So, it's nice to know Derek thinks that, though. So if we ever have to get in something a little less luxurious, you know, maybe we can still compete.
Tell me a little bit about Ronnie and just a little bit about his background before we let you go real quick. I don't know much about him, so maybe you can fill me in a little bit about him.
You know, Ronnie's he's not as old as you would think he would be. He's, I think Ronnie is 47 now, 46 or I think maybe 40, 46 or 47. And, he's got six kids.
Holy cow.
He goes to church, two times on Sunday and Wednesday night. He's, got, two successful businesses. He's got Delk Equipment Sales, which sells primarily forestry equipment, you know, timber cutters, log skidders, you know, stuff like that. It's used equipment. He comes in
right
and refurbishes equipment, sells it. And then they got the RS Trading Company, a partner with his partner, Stacy. They sell heavy equipment, rent heavy equipment, more of the construction side, you know, whether it be bulldozers or dump trucks or just kind of whatever. And, And his side business he really loves, his kind of hobby, is he builds houses and sells them. So he's a real energetic guy, and it's been a blessing in my life for sure. And you know, grow for him for, this is our ninth year now. That's a pretty long relationship in any kind of racing, you know. So it's been a great deal. But he's definitely definitely a unique guy. He believes in our team. You know, if we're out racing and you know we're struggling, he's never ever pointed fingers to me or Josh or Jerry. You know, it's more you know, obviously I know you guys can do it, so maybe your motor ain't good or your car ain't working good or whatever the situation is. So he's a unique guy, but that's a little bit about him. And you know, he never gets to go to a race because he works all the time. He's pretty much a workaholic. You know, he goes to the World 100, maybe the North South, but maybe five times a year goes to a race, and lives in Jamestown, Tennessee. Me and him are pretty much neighbors. He lives one of the next towns over from me, about 30 miles or something.
Yeah. You know, we're pretty good friends with old Mark Dotson. He's been pretty good to you over the years too, right?
Oh yeah. Mark and Kim, his wife, you know, I've kind of met Mark back in about 2002 racing modifieds, and there was a, you know, I would always kind of, I had worked for my dad and we did the salvage yard and never really worried about money or anything. I just was happy to help and go racing, and called Mark one time and told him some goals I had, and I really respected his opinion about, you know, the way he goes about his life and his business and
right
and everything, and he gave me some really good advice and helped me out in a couple of situations where, you know, gave me some direction, and I'll be forever indebted to him, that's for sure. You know, he's been really good to me, and he's good to our race team, and him and his grandkids enjoy watching us racing. You know, he's not racing now, but he's a race fan. So I've got a lot of support from him. And, you know, Ronnie and Mark's kind of in the same business. You know, Ronnie
right.
and Mark's a big logger and debris. He does the hurricane cleanup stuff. And
right.
Mark, and Ronnie's usually got a lot of the tools for that stuff. So they do a little business together. So it's been a nice relationship. It's made full circle.
Mark was pretty good in his day driving a modified, by the way.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a wheel man. And Mark is a get up on the wheel, bend it and send it,
right.
No fear kind of guy.
Right.
And yeah, he's definitely Mark's the kind of guy. If he was racing late models right now, he'd be selling T-shirts. I'll just tell you that, because he was. I remember him showing me pictures of this wreck he had, and I'm like, God Almighty.
Yeah.
So he was a real aggressive driver, and you know what's kind of odd is in his day-to-day life he's a hard worker, but he's not kind of, you know, you wouldn't come across that way. You know, he's kind of quiet and don't say a lot, and when he got in that race car he had a whole nother side to him.
Yeah, well, he's a little bit like I hate to even use this term, but he's a little bit like Joey Logano. Joey Logano's a really nice guy when he's outside of the car, but when he puts that helmet on he turns into a different person, right?
Oh yeah. Well, they just got to, you know, they're winners. Mark's a winner, and Joe McDonald's obviously a winner, and they win in business, and that takes this approach, and then you get in racing, it takes another approach, you know, he's kind of figured that out pretty fast. And he was good, you know, and he's still involved, you know. They come to the Show Me this year. Unfortunately, when I got banged up at the Show Me, he was there to watch, you know, so I didn't get to hang out with him much, but yeah, so it's been a good relationship, and it's been fun having him on the car and just kind of keeping our relationship going after his race. After, you know, we raced with each other back in the day, now it's, he's helping me achieve some of our dreams, you know. So
yeah,
so it's been nice.
Well, Mike, I always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. You never say no, and we appreciate that. We try not to bug you too often, but. Just so you know, we're always pulling for you. We're always pulling for the 157 when it's out there on the racetrack. And I hope your streak of top fives continues for a long time, my friend. Good luck to you.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having us on. And we're going to go out here we'll stay up in your neck of the woods here the next 3 weeks. You know, Fairbury this weekend. We got a flow race over at 34 Speedway Tuesday.
Oh.
Then we're going up to Cedar Lake next weekend, and I'm going to try to do some XR races after that up in northern Wisconsin. And then back to Florence, Kentucky. So anybody wants to tune in, keep up with us, that's what we'll be doing.
So as a person that traveled, I spent 180 days a year out on the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour doing their broadcast for the last 13 years. How difficult is it for you to stay out on the road and be away from your family and everything for all that time? It's a little difficult, isn't it?
If I can go home and just break it up a little bit, I don't mind being gone, but it is nice to, more than 2 weeks on one trip for me seems to be kind of a long stretch. I've been gone 3 on this one and probably won't get to go home, but until probably hopefully 4 or 5 weeks in. But, if everything's going good and you're keeping your race cars in one piece and you feel like you're competitive, I can stay out a long time and tough it out a little bit, but it's, we do miss our families a little bit, but nowadays, with FaceTime and different things they got, different technologies, it's not as bad. And of course, they're busy too. So everybody understands, but we definitely miss each other. My wife, Stacy, she's been with us a couple of weeks, and she started a new remote teaching job. She had to go home and do some training. She's come back for the weekend. So as long as we get to communicate with people and see each other, to me, home's where your family is. So I don't really necessarily need to touch Winfield, Tennessee, as much as I need to just see everybody every now and then. So that works out pretty good.
Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Y'all have a good summer.
All right, you too. There you have it, Mike Muller. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott hanging out with us here in the Race Boys studio. I want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It is all about Ascot Park, which was in Gardena, California. A great, great racetrack, man. One of the greatest racetracks of all time. They race 4 days a week out there. It's such a great tribute going on right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. They've got cars that raced out at Ascot Park. So if you're going to go to Knoxville Raceway and you're going to watch the races, take a walk over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out the great exhibit that's going on for Ascot Park. That's going to be going on through October 1st, folks. So get over there, check it out. If you're going to Knoxville, you can't go to Knoxville without going to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And while you're there, buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be giving away. They're going to do the raffle, the drawing, I should say, on Friday, December 15th during the Knoxville Nationals. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I said December 16th. I'm thinking of the Corvette right now. The Sprint Car will be given away on December 16th. And if you can't go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and purchase a raffle ticket for the Sprint Car, you can do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. This is a complete race-ready 410 Sprint Car, XXX chassis. And I'm telling you, folks, they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it to help you pay the taxes on it as well. Also, they've got the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they will be drawing Saturday, August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. And again, if you can't make it up there in person to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette C8R contest.com. Again, this is only one of 1,000 of these Corvettes that were produced. It's an IMSA. It's a real race car, folks. IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. Again, they're going to be drawing that on Saturday, August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. And if you can't make it up to Knoxville for the Nationals, or if you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, again, you can do it online at Corvette C8RContest.com. And if you run into Bob Baker up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, would you tell him the Racing Boys sent you up there, would you? I got to say what Tammy said. She says, how can you not be a fan of Mike Mahler? Not only a wheel man, but a fantastic person as well. Would you agree with that, Austin? He's a pretty cool dude, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you get some of these, you know, full-time racers that...
They get a little big head sometimes.
Yeah, they don't care about, you know, the fans or, you know, the people that work in the racing industry and just kind of blow you off. But It sounds like if you walked up to Mike after a race, he'd sit there and talk to you for an hour or whatever. But yeah, we need more people like him in the sport, and it's all he's going to do is just help grow it.
Good guy. And it sounds like that his car owner is an exceptional guy, too. Young guy, not very old, 46, 47 years old. Man, that's pretty young to be a car owner, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little younger, but, you know, he's done really well in life. And, you know, he has, you know, two successful businesses and,
right,
you know, allows him to support, you know, the sport he loves and give someone else away, a way of a living,
right,
you know, letting him drive race cars for a living. So it's definitely cool to see people like him, you know, in the sport and giving back to it. And, just wish we could get some more of them in there.
Yeah. My buddy, old Chris Yance, he's got a bunch of back pain. He said, man, back pain is, it really sucks. And you know what? That's true. Back pain is the worst. And you got to sit here and you think about it. Not only is Wayne Johnson have to deal with back pain, but Mike Marler's having to deal with that as well. What do you think would be worse, driving a late model or a sprint car?
Sprint car. Yeah. There's no suspension to them.
Yeah, it's a little more rugged, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you sit, I don't know, 5 inches off the ground, and right, you know, you go to a big half mile, and you know, you're an inch off the ground. If you got a raised rail and you know, you hit a hole, and now you're sitting
bottom
on the ground.
Out.
So it's definitely never fun. Or if you go to a track like US 36 and you smoke the hole into one, and you go bunny hopping, that's not fun either. So
yeah,
the late models are a lot more forgiving and, you know, easier on an injured driver. Sprint cars aren't that fortunate.
Yeah. But that was interesting what Mike had to say about all of his injuries. He was obviously not happy with Lucas Oil Speedway that night, right?
No, and I think, you know, if you think it's prevented, it could be prevented, you're not going to be happy at all. And,
right,
you know, I think, you know, Lucas Oil, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, hits it right. But, you know, that one time, you know, they'll miss it. And that was
once in a while it happens. It doesn't matter what track you go to. Every now and again, racetracks just miss it, right?
Yeah, and it's they have a formula better than anybody else, I feel like. And you know, just all the rain that they had just kind of, you know, threw it off, and they thought they were doing the right thing, and maybe the humidity changed a little bit, and the water that they were adding, you know, didn't work or was too much or too
right,
little. And it's just little things like that, you know, maybe gets overlooked and you have a situation like that. But you know, it's just lucky that nobody else was in his position and nobody else got tore up or hurt.
Yeah. All right, what are you going to do tonight? You going to sit home and watch TV?
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to look like.
You won't be watching regular television. You'll be watching racing, right?
I'll probably watch Lincoln Park and
81.
Yeah, that's probably the two I'll watch, and
yeah,
head out to the shop and clean up, fiddle around.
What else is on Flow tonight? Do you know? I'm looking here. I got it right here. I'll pull it up.
I'll still find it for you, dude.
Oh, you will not. I'm there. I'm there. So you got USAC Indiana Sprint Week at Lincoln Park. You've got the Lucas Oil ASCS at 81 Speedway. Southern Nationals at Tri-County Racetrack. So that's it. Three options tonight. Is there anything going on Dirt Vision tonight?
There should be a couple things. Let me look.
I beat you to it again. Is today the 28th?
Yeah, it's just Orange County with the Super Dirt Car Big Blocks.
Do you watch those guys much?
Only when it's Super Dirt Week at Oswego is when I watch them.
Yeah.
I wish I could watch them more, but no, I just really watch, you know, the Super Dirt Week races.
Right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show again today. We are so blessed to have such loyal listeners that tune in every day on our show. People like Marie, Chris, Bruce, Tammy, so many other people that tune in with us as well. Paul, he tunes in. Bruce, we want to thank him as well. Caleb, every day, he's always there. Ben, how you doing over there in Australia, man? It's nice to see you there. Pete, he's a regular listener as well. Marvin, Chuck Taylor, we want to say hi to him. So thanks to everybody that tunes into the show each and every day. We appreciate it. And I can't tell you how much it means to us here at Racing Boys. So thanks again. Tomorrow it's Phone Friday. Listen, Phone Friday. That means I depend on you to call in on the show tomorrow. So do me a favor and do that, would you? It doesn't matter. Any one of you guys, just tune in, call the show. It doesn't matter if it's just an opinion or a question or whatnot. It doesn't matter. We'd love to have you call in tomorrow. It's Phone Friday right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports at 12 noon Central Time on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.